We're going to read from Psalm 136, and this passage has a repeated refrain in each verse, Psalm 136. And this refrain, as you look at it, you could emphasize different words. You could emphasize, "For his mercy endureth forever," or you could emphasize, "For his mercy endureth forever." You could emphasize, "For his mercy endureth forever." As we read this, I'm going to ask you to participate. I will read the first part of the verse, and I'd like you to respond in unison with the refrain. And I'm going to ask you to emphasize the word "his." It's his mercy. It's God's mercy that endures forever. And we will read the first 16 verses. So be ready to respond in unison with the refrain in each verse. Psalm 136, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods,
for his mercy endureth forever.
O give thanks to the Lord of lords,
for his mercy endureth forever.
To him who alone doeth great wonders,
for his mercy endureth forever.
To him that by wisdom made the heavens,
for his mercy endureth forever.
To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters,
for his mercy endureth forever.
To him that made great lights,
for his mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day,
for his mercy endureth forever.
The moon and stars to rule by night,
for his mercy.
To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn,
for his mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel from among them,
for his mercy endureth forever.
With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm,
for his mercy endureth forever.
To him which divided the Red Sea into parts,
for his mercy endureth forever.
And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea,
for his mercy endureth forever.
To him which led his people through the wilderness,
for his mercy endureth forever.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning and greetings to each of you here this morning. It's a privilege and a blessing to be here, and I bring greetings to you from Cornerstone. Even though they aren't here to greet you, it's a blessing to see all of you again. It's been quite a while, I think, as I was reminded a few times here this weekend. But I just want to bless you all for your support, your prayers, your kindness towards our congregation as well. If you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to turn to Psalm 34. And I'll be reading just a few verses here, and we'll be coming back to this psalm a few times, as well as Psalm 136 as well. Psalm 34, and I'm going to read the last couple verses here in this chapter. Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Trust, faith. I'd like for you to think about this as you think about your relationship with God. As you think of God, are these words that come to your mind? Trust, faith. Or do you find yourself holding your life with a clenched fist? And as you look at God, You say, yes, Lord, but let me hang on to this. You find yourself doling out your life in little dribs and drabs as life goes on. You find yourself kind of clenching up when it comes to the idea of just giving it out, letting God have all of you. And if you do, I can identify because I find myself there. So many times I feel God calling me to give him all, to let it all out, just to let him have my life. And yet so often I find myself holding my life with a clenched fist and not opening up and allowing him to have control in my life. Some time ago, I ran across a short story, and it really impacted me, and I'd like to share it with you here this morning as it relates to our relationships with God and even with each other. The title of the story is I Hate. So there was a visiting priest who was attending a men's breakfast in farm country. And he asked one of the older farmers who were in attendance there that morning to say grace. And so after they were all seated, the old farmer begins his prayer. And he says, Lord, I hate buttermilk. The priest opened one eye and he's wondering to himself, where is this going? And the farmer loudly proclaimed, Lord, I hate lard. Now the priest was overtly worried. However, without missing a beat, the farmer prayed on, and he says, Lord, you know I don't much care for raw white flour. And just as the priest was about to stand up and stop everything, the farmer continued, and he says, but Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them, I do love biscuits. So, Lord, when things come up that we don't like, when life gets hard, and when we just don't understand what you're saying to us, we just need to relax and wait until you're done mixing. And it will be something even better than biscuits. Amen, said the farmer. You know, if you had the power to change your circumstances, would you? We all live with things that we would like to change. Life can be difficult. Life can be hard sometimes. But what do you do when your circumstances don't change? Because realistically, most of those circumstances we can do nothing about. We don't have a magic wand that we can wave about and magically disappear our problems. Life just doesn't work that way. There's no escape route. Sometimes we just simply have to go right through it. It's difficult. It's tough. Think that all of us would freely admit that we don't like pain. Most of us, in fact, myself particularly, will do just about anything we can to avoid pain. We like to have that magic wand to wave around and dismiss all our pain because we don't appreciate it, we don't like it. It's like the farmer saying, I hate lard. It's disgusting, it's vile, we can't stand it in our mouth. But we have to live with it. What if your circumstances is one that only God can change? And I think we recognize that that is the case. God can change our circumstances. But God seems to be working on a different timetable from the one we're on. And God says, no, I'm not going to change your circumstances. I want you to, whatever it may be for you. God has a plan for you. He wants you to grow through whatever it is that you're facing. He wants to stretch you, to reshape you. And God is saying, no, I'm not going to remove it from you. I'm going to allow you to continue on. Can we open our hands to God and say, God, I am going to let you be you? We like comfort, and we don't want to go through more than we have to. But the reality is, life is life. Difficult circumstances will come, and only God has the power to alter them, and He has chosen to allow those circumstances to remain with us. And He's creating something that, from our perspective, looks an awful lot like the mess that you have when you're making biscuits. I think probably most of us have had the opportunity to see that mixing process when you pour in all the different ingredients, and it just looks an awful lot like a mess. Our best laid plans just aren't panning out the way we thought they should. We had planned life a certain way, and then life came along. God has a way of steering us along that place, to that place that He has for us. And that isn't to say that that journey will be easy or pleasant. And there are times that we look at our life and all we're going to see is lard or flour or buttermilk. It hurts. It tastes bad. And we don't like it. And sometimes it's in this greatest pain that we can find our greatest healing as well. There are three promises that I want all of us to remember here this morning. The first one is that God is near. God is near. In Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now, the New Living Translation puts it this way: "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Eugene Peterson interprets this verse in the Message in this way. He says, "If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, He'll help you catch your breath." Have you found yourself there? Where you feel like life has just given you a kick in the midsection and you can't catch your breath? The psalmist, David here in this case, is saying when that happens, God is right here. He is near. And He is furthermore reaching out and helping you to catch that next breath, to take a breath, to take a step, to move on, to live. Now keep in mind that when David was writing these words, he knew exactly what he was talking about. Because David was going through an extremely difficult time in his life. This was in the time that's the story is given to us in 1 Samuel 21, where David was fleeing for his life. He was starving, he was hungry, and so he enters into the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, the priest Ahimelech gave him the showbread to eat so that he could survive and have strength to go on. And for his kindness, that priest died at the hand of Saul. David continues to run and he moves on. He finds refuge with Achish, the king of Gath. And after he arrives there, he promptly runs into trouble again and he pretends to be a madman, a crazy man, in order to escape. David is desperately afraid. It seems like everywhere he turns, everything he does, things go completely wrong. He's feeling betrayed by Saul. He's feeling betrayed by his own people. And now even this heathen king who has nothing against him wants to kill him. and he has to act like a crazy man to escape. It seems that David here is at a pretty low place. He has no friends. Everyone wants to kill him. And it seems like he's writing these words to remind himself again of the truth. If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. And he'll help you with taking that next breath. Later here in the Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5, he says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Keep in mind, again, the context here. David running for his life, fleeing from the very people that he was supposed to be governing. He was anointed as king, and he's driven out from his own land. And he says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. It doesn't really seem like it, does it? And yet David recognized the reality. God has answered me. He has delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. You know, when we find ourselves in this place, we need something that's beyond us. Something that's beyond what we have here amongst ourselves. So if we hold ourselves close, we close our fists to God and we say, you can't have us. Where does that place us when we face these difficulties and these troubles? Satan would just love to keep us there. If he can keep us alienated and isolated from God, that's exactly where he wants us. To keep us from feeling God's love and from it, gaining that courage that we need to move forward, to take that next step in life. Psalm here, the psalmist David here reminds us that God is not only present with us, but he is near. He is near to the pain we feel. He's near to the loss. He's near to those needs that we have. And maybe we can't even express those needs yet. For the brokenhearted, God gives nearness. He is not removed from knowing about our pain or from our experience of pain. He is always available, and he is close to those who suffer. He will stay, and he will see you through. And maybe most surprisingly of all to us, when we're in the midst of those difficult times, God is not dismayed by our situation. He is not dismayed by our situation, by our hurt, or by our pain. And he is able and he will give us courage that we need to breathe again. He comforts us. He understands us. Even when we don't understand ourselves, even when we can't find the words to speak. To know God's comfort in difficult moments or seasons in our life, we need to seek it. We need to receive it. He hears and he is near. The second thing I'd like for us to remember is that God is good. God is near and God is good. Psalm 136, passage we were just reading, spends a lot of time telling us that God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts. His love endures forever. Now, the King James here uses the word mercy, and that is a correct word to use. The Hebrew word that's used here is the word hesed. Now, hesed is one of those Hebrew words that you can't express in English with a single word. You just can't force it. Now, some of you who know other languages know that there are words like that that can't be translated into another language without a dictionary definition behind it. And hesed is one of those types of words. This word hesed means chosen. It means loving kindness. It means mercy. It means patient love. It means provision. It means goodness. It means favor, compassion. All of those things are combined, are included in this idea of chesed, or love, or mercy, or however the different versions choose to define this word. That is God. His loving kindness, His mercy, His patient love. All of those things. For God, He is good. His loving kindness, His patience, His provision, His goodness endures forever. And as you read that psalm over and over and over and over again, it is reiterated, His love, His mercy endures forever. This is one of the psalms that is quoted or chanted or sung, however you want to say it, at the Passover. It's a reminder that God has done an amazing thing. He is doing some amazing things, and He will do amazing things. As we read through this psalm, we see how God has worked in the past. And as we know that He's worked in the past, we know He will now work in our lives as well. God is good. He is good all the time. And that doesn't matter our circumstance. Our circumstances will not change God. His goodness will not change because of where we are now. We can know that because we see how He's dealt in the past. So no matter how bad it gets, no matter the loss, God is good. He isn't good and then bad and then good again. He is good. He is good all the time. Trust in His goodness towards you and never let it go. And we see David over and over doing this in various places, various times throughout his life. David often reiterates again how God is good, how God has dealt with him in a right way, how God has led him through these difficult times. Over and over again, he reiterates, he talks back, he looks back at the things that God has done, and he realizes that God is good. Joseph, when he was betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery in a foreign land by himself, a young boy, 17, 18 years old perhaps, on his own in desperate circumstances. And yet, Joseph was able to recognize God as sovereign and that God would be there for him. Stephen, as he is stoned to death by his own people, never lost sight that God is good. And that God was on the throne and is on the throne and is still there today. Paul, as he suffered multitudes of injuries, of cruelties, never lost sight of the fact that God is good. David exalts in Psalm 34, I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Verse 6 and 7, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Do you ever wonder if God hears you? I think there were times where David wondered that as well. And he tells us here again that the ears, his ears, are attentive to our cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. David also invites us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 8. Because when we seek refreshment for our weariness, we find goodness in a God who renews us. And it's available as often as we need it. All we need to do is open our hearts to Him and receive it. The third thing is God is faithful. God is faithful. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We must hold to and never forget that God is faithful. His word is true. We see His promises in the past. We see the commitments that He made to His people in the past. And we see how He fulfilled those commitments and those promises. Not one of them fell by the wayside. Every single one as he committed, he fulfilled. We can know that he is faithful. And as we know that God has been faithful in the past, we can know he is going to be faithful in our present, and he'll be faithful in our future as well. He has a track record. No matter what our circumstances are, God is faithful to you, to me. He is faithful to his word. The scriptures tell us that he watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. As he has spoken, he is aware that he has spoken, and he is eager and he is willing and he is committed to following through on that. We can know that with no doubt. The idea of that immense attention to detail that will never forget you. It will never forget me. In light of a God like this, are you willing to open your hand to him? To let out your life to him? To allow him to live in your heart, to direct your thoughts, to direct your steps? Because God is near. God is good. And God is faithful. And we can know that with no doubt whatsoever. I'd like to close this morning with some scripture passages that testify to God's faithfulness. In 2 Timothy 2:13, Timothy declares, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." That's God. Even if we are not capable, even if we cannot grasp his goodness, if we cannot grasp his faithfulness, Timothy tells us he remains faithful. He is faithful, for he cannot deny himself. That's who God is, and what God is, he will be. He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." He has provided a way, and he has promised us that he will be there for us, no matter what the temptation is. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, "For the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." Again, God is faithful, and he will establish you, and he will guard you. 1 John 1, 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Deuteronomy 7, 9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." 1 Corinthians 1, 9, "God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Numbers 23, 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of a man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" Again, God is not a man that he should lie. Hebrews 10, 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." 1 Thessalonians 5:24, He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Can we together say that God is faithful? Can we feel that in our hearts? Can we understand that with our minds? God is faithful. His steadfast love never ceases. So again, God is near. He is right here. God is good. He's good all the time. He never changes. God is faithful. And as we go through our lives here in the coming days, the coming weeks, let's remember who God is. And as you find inside of you that resistance, fight against that and open your hands, open your heart, open your life to God. Allow Him to lead you. Allow Him to work through you. Because we know He is near. He is faithful. He is good. Would you kneel for prayer? Our Lord and Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness, your goodness. And above all, Lord, we thank you that you are near, that you are here, you are with each one of us. And God, I thank you that we can trust in that. As we've seen the evidence in Scripture, as we've seen your promises, your commitment, and your faithfulness in the past, we can know that you are faithful still today. God, help each of us as we face those difficult times in life to turn to you, to allow you to control our lives, to lead us in the way that is right, to direct our steps, to direct our paths. I pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.